So we've come together to associate in service to and remembrance of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, and how we proceed depends on what you want. So are there any questions? Yes.
Sometimes we learn from mistakes. The Prabhupada said, mistakes are to go through the best or like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if there's any. I know that we hear of the successes, of our spiritual master and the devotees, but I'm just wondering if there's any, memories they have of difficulties that. Through mistakes, you or most of my learning things.
Yeah. I think of what he said that we often hear of the successes, but we can also learn from our mistakes. And he quoted, failure is the pillar of success. So, yes, if there are any notable mistakes that I would like to recount. And immediately one came to mind. It was around, it was in 1977. And I think it was around April or May before Srila Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. And earlier, Indira Gandhi had declared a state of emergency in India and assumed absolute powers. And for about a year and a half, she ruled India, practically as a dictator. But then she decided to call elections. And all of her opponents formed a party called the Junta Party. And the leaders of the Junta Party were Morarji Desai and Jai Prakash Narayan, who were freedom fighters and venerable politicians. And they won the election. Morarji Desai became the Prime Minister. So Morarji Desai had a home, or his son had a home in Bombay. And after the elections, he came to Bombay for maybe 2 or 3 days. And at the same time, we had cultivated a member of parliament who had been in the same political party as Morarji Desai, had been known as Congress O. And he said he could arrange a meeting between Srila Prabhupada and Morarji Desai. So, we heard about the Prime Minister's visit just a day or two before he was to arrive, and he was only going to be in town for a day or two. So finally, the night before the meeting was to take place, if it was to take place, Ratan Singh Rajga, who was the member of parliament, phoned at about 11 o'clock at night. Now, earlier Srila Prabhupada had said that if the Prime Minister wants to visit him, he's welcome to come and meet him at Hare Krishna Land, but that he would not go to meet the Prime Minister. And Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not proud, but unless he has the proper frame of mind, he won't get any benefit from meeting me. And if he comes to me, then it shows that he's in the right mood. You know. So at 11 o'clock at night, Ratan Singh Raj phoned and said that, you know, Maharaj Desai's schedule was too busy for him to come to Juhu, but that some of us could meet him in central Bombay. So I told Mr. Rajda that I would consult the Prabhupada. So I went to Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and by then it was 11:30 or 12 at night, maybe even later. And you know, I was very afraid, because I didn't want to disturb Srila Prabhupada, because he was already quite ill by then. And, you know, the servants were taking rest. So I came in to the quarters. I don't know how many of you have been there, but they're very nice. It's a whole floor on the top of the West Tower. And there's sort of a reception area. And anyway, I went around, there's like a long way around to get to the entrance to the Srila Prabhupada's meeting area. So I came around and I wasn't sure what to expect, and then beyond the meeting area was the bedroom. I just very silently walked around and came to the doorway, and I looked in and I saw there was a lamp on. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting at his translating desk. There's two desks. It's a big area. It's probably altogether, it's, you know, maybe 2/3 the size of this room. But the way it's arranged, sort of like in one area was his translating table, then in another area was his like darshan table, and then in another area was his prasadam table. And it's like all white marble floor, carved wood ceiling with chandeliers and mirrors. They're very opulent. And the furniture also is all carved wood. So they're very opulent. But when Srila Prabhupada came into his quarters, he commented, oh, this is just like my room at Radha Damodar. In one corner I was translating, in one corner I was meeting people, and in one corner I was taking prasad. So, anyway, it was like after midnight I came to the doorway, and at the far end of the room was a translating table, and the lamp was on. Came forward, you know, very gingerly, and offered my obeisances, and said, Srila Prabhupada, I hope I'm not disturbing you. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you're not disturbing me. Actually, these days I'm not able to sleep at night. And he said, I'm also not able to eat. And there's no question of mating and defending, so I guess I'm liberated. So then I explained what Ratan Singh Rajda had said on the phone, and Srila Prabhupada took the same position that, you know, if he wants to meet me here, I'll be happy to meet him, but I don't want to meet him unless he's in the right frame of mind to come to me. But, so I said, well, what about us? He said, well, you can go. You meaning Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I phoned Ratan Singh Rajda back, and it was about 1 in the morning. And Maharaji Desai was free at about 7. I think the appointment was fixed for 7 in the morning. So Goswami Maharaj and I left early in the morning, and we got to Ratan Singh Rajda's place at about 6. And his place was, you know, not more than at most 20 minutes from the Prime Minister's home. So we got there well in time, and you know, Ratan Singh Rajda said, I mean, we were just sort of in the outer room, and someone was like, he had to get ready, so he was taking his bath and getting dressed. Time was passing, it was getting later and later. And by the time we got to the Prime Minister's home, it was already about 7:20. And he was talking with the mayor of Bombay, Murli Deora, who since then has become even more prominent. I think he became a member of Parliament. Anyway. And Murli Deora was saying that, you know, so many people are coming to Bombay from the villages, we don't know what to do with them all. And, you know, Maharaji Desai said, don't let them come. And the mayor said, well, how can we stop them? And Maharaji Desai said, you're the government, you can do whatever you want. And they were like, Goswami Maharaj mentioned afterwards, they were like two different categories. You know, Maharaji Desai was this, you know, very, like, sort of humble and wise politician, like from the old days, the old school, you know, very austere, wearing white khadi. And Murli Deora was like a young businessman who got into politics and got elected. So afterwards, Goswami Maharaj commented, they're like, you know, two different species. So then, you know, Maharaji Desai was very old, and like his meeting with the mayor was his last official meeting. So then he went into his back room to sort of relax, but he said we could still come in for a few minutes. And, you know, the first thing he said was that, you know, I was waiting for you. What happened to you? And I didn't want to, like, make Ratan Singh Rajda look bad, so I don't know what I said. Didn't say much. And there was really no time to have a proper talk with him. And then we left and came back. So when we got back, you know, went up to Srila Prabhupada's quarters to tell him what happened. And when he heard that we were late, he was not very pleased. And then when I told him that the Prime Minister asked why you were late, Prabhupada said, why didn't you tell him that that we were early, but the Member of Parliament made us late? So I was silent. And Prabhupada said, oh, of course, you know, he's your friend. And you didn't want him to look bad, but still, you should have told the Prime Minister that you were late because of the Member of Parliament, that you were on time. So, you know, we offered our obeisances and left. Then Goswami Maharaj said to me, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. If I would have done that, Prabhupada would have roasted me. I can't believe you got off so easy. And then I mentioned the incident to someone else, you know, sort of a, you know, savvy ISKCON leader. He said, yeah, you know, sure, you should have put the blame on the Member of Parliament. You got a cover for yourself. So that was one mistake that came to mind. Well, the next mistake was actually a little more subtle, and I told it in Dallas, but it was the same period, 1977, Srila Prabhupada was ill. He was living in his new quarters in Chuhu, but he wasn't coming down. You know, he was just basically confined to his quarters. And one morning I came up, and Goswami Maharaj was there. You know, he was the secretary, so there was another desk. When you would come into the quarters, that was Goswami Maharaj's desk, and the place is still there. And I remember, anyway, I wanted to keep this picture there. But at the time it wasn't politically correct, but now maybe. The last put his picture there, but anyway, when he went in there, it was very nice. He also had the same style carved wood desk. Very imposing and impressive. So, you know, he greeted me as a friend and he mentioned that he wanted me to go to the bank. So at the time I was thinking, no, you know, I thought, first of all, I'm the temple president. You know, why do I have to go to the bank? There's so many other devotees. And I think I was also thinking, although it wasn't so clear in my mind then, but I think I was also thinking, you know, who are you to tell me to go to the bank? So we were having like a little discussion. And you know, the whole idea was to protect Srila Prabhupada. Because there's the secretary's room, and then there was another room, which was sort of like a waiting room, where all Prabhupada's books were on display. And then there was the entrance to Prabhupada's room, and that door was always closed. And we would always talk softly in the outer area so he wouldn't disturb Srila Prabhupada. But suddenly, you know, the bell rang. So we both went in, you know. And suddenly, you know, Srila Prabhupada was like preaching to me, you could say. He said, you know, if the spiritual master asks you to go to the bank and you refuse, that is not surrender. So I thought, first I thought Prabhupada could not possibly have heard our discussion. So, but you know, Krishna must have, you know, inspired him. The second thing I thought was that, you know, I was seeing Goswami Maharaj independent of Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking, oh, he's just my godbrother. But Srila Prabhupada's statement made me think that, you know, I should have seen Goswami Maharaj as Prabhupada's representative, that Prabhupada's order was coming to me through him. So, I mean, that was sort of a mistake. And there was another one.
You don't have to only talk about the state, so.
That's true. It could take a long time. Might spend the rest of the days I'm here just on.
Totally transcendental.
Okay, one more. He's a good number. This was very late. This was, I would say, I think it was actually November 4th, just 10 days before Srila Prabhupada left. And basically Srila Prabhupada entrusted me with the legal work and the banking affairs. And so just in the last 10 days, he wanted to form the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust. And, you know, getting anything done in India was very difficult. And to get the trust registered, I had to go into Mathura, to the court. And I mean, it's a whole procedure. And it was hot then. Although it was November, it was very hot. Anyway, you know, I went, went through the whole procedure, took hours and hours. And, you know, in those days we only basically took buses and rickshaws. So just getting there took time, and moving around took time, getting back took time. And, so I did it, you know, came back late, weary and hungry and hot and dirty, but I did it. So then, you know, I gave the document to Goswami Maharaj, and you know, maybe I took a little prasad or something, just went to take rest. Then, sometime later, you know, while I was sleeping, Goswami Maharaj came to my little room, like banged on the door, like I opened the door. And I mean, he said, you know, boy, did you blow it. I can't believe it, you know. You went all the way to Mathura and you registered the trust in the wrong name. You know, Prabhupada wanted it, the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Memorial Trust. And you registered it as the Bhakti Vedanta Memorial Trust. You know, Prabhupada was furious. And I said, oh, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, I'll go tomorrow, I'll redo it. You know, I'll do it again. But I was so elated. I was actually elated that, you know, that Goswami Maharaj considered his relationship with Srila Prabhupada and, you know, his service to Srila Prabhupada so important, you know, much more important than his relationship with me, because it was obvious he wasn't thinking about his relationship with me. but he was thinking about our service to Srila Prabhupada. So I was really elated after that. You know, I knew that no way that our relationship was mundane or anything. It only existed, you know, for Srila Prabhupada's service. So, okay, enough for now. Any other questions?
I was reading New Bhaktivedanta, and I was reading the article that Gopi Purandara.
Yes.
And I read something I just thought it was really amazing, and maybe you could comment on it a little bit. There's one statement in there that says that in a time of great distress, such as when a disciple, spiritual master, leaves, that because of that just intense, you know, separation and distress that the disciples may feel, they can, in that state, they can experience Krishna and actually see Krishna due to that, you know, intense separation they're feeling. It was part of a report that Srila Prabhupada wrote about the story of King Premchand.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last part of that story, where King Premchand leaves his body, but then he comes back as a woman, because when he left, he was mm-hmm. thinking of his wife. And so then in that birth, she loses her husband. And so she's in distress, and at that time, a Brahmin comes to her. And that's, so it's that part of the story in Prabhupada's written report. And this statement is part of that report. I thought it was pretty amazing when I read it. And can you comment on that?
Well, I don't remember. I mean, I read the article.
You read the article?
Yes, I read the whole issue. And I thought the article was very appropriate. And actually, just days after Srila Prabhupada left, I came across the verses in the fourth canto about the disappearance of the spiritual master, you know, by chance. And I was actually thinking of, well, I was gonna look at the next few verses from the 11th canto, but I was thinking maybe ask Shyamasundara Prabhu's permission to speak on the section from the 4th canto, the disappearance of the spiritual master. But after the husband dies, and figuratively the husband is the spiritual master, and figuratively the wife is the disciple. As you mentioned, the Brahmin appears and says, "I'm your old friend." Now the Brahmin represents Krishna, or the super soul, who comes to give guidance to the disciple after the spiritual master leaves. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that why did Krishna come in the form of the Brahman? Why did he not come in his original form, Shyamasundara? And the answer is that unless one is highly elevated in love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot see him as he is in his original form. But that if one sticks to the orders of the spiritual master, he associates with the Supreme Lord. And the idea is that when the disciple is so pure in heart that he's ready to give up his life for the mission of the spiritual master, then Krishna appears to the disciple, you know, to give him further guidance. And, you know, Prabhupada quotes the verse, Tesham Satati Yudhana Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadani Guru Yoga Tam Vinamana Payantite, that the super soul from within the heart gives guidance to the sincere disciple. And the by continuing to follow the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple eventually comes to the stage where he actually can see the original form of Krishna. Now, many years ago, quite soon after Srila Prabhupada left, I wrote a letter to Satsarupa Maharaj in which I said that I believe that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is aware of everything that's happening in ISKCON and that he's, you know, feeling the pain of the failures and feeling the joy of the successes, but that he's the real hero. And I compared him to Shah Jahan. I don't know if you're familiar with the talk where Srila Prabhupada mentions a book written by a Bengali author called Shah Jahan. And there was once a party in Calcutta, and one of the guests asked the author, why did you name the book Shah Jahan? Because the whole book is about the exploits of Aurangzeb, who was the son of Shah Jahan and who imprisoned his own father. And the author replied that no, the actual hero is not Aurangzeb. The actual hero is Shah Jahan. Because all the time that Aurangzeb was doing so many things, Shah Jahan was in the prison and he was getting the news that Aurangzeb is doing this, Aurangzeb is doing that, and his heart was beating. So I compared Srila Prabhupada to Shah Jahan in the sense that he's the real hero because he knows everything that's happening in ISKCON and everything is like beating in his heart. So Satsarupa Maharaj wrote back that, you know, how can you say that Srila Prabhupada knows everything that's happening in ISKCON? You know, as far as we understand, Srila Prabhupada is somewhere else in the material world preaching, or he's serving Krishna in the spiritual world. But, you know, on what basis do you say that Srila Prabhupada knows? You know, is this just some sentiment? So, I was quite, taken aback by Satsarupa Maharaj's reply because, you know, I held him in the highest esteem. I joined in Boston. He was the temple president. But somehow, I didn't want to concede the point, you know, somehow I felt Prabhupada did know, but I knew I couldn't, but I didn't have any evidence, and I had to find some evidence. So I waited some time, and I read, and I found different things, but I think that the quotation that was the most compelling for me was from the concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada writes that, that whatever work I have done has been by the direct inspiration of my Guru Maharaj. And then, of course, Tene Brahma Kriteya Yadikavaye. And he says that, spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, where the Lord and all of his associates are sitting. So then I thought, well, it's not just the Lord is in the heart, but he's there with his associates. And the implication of Prabhupada's words was that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was there in his heart, guiding him and inspiring him, his translation work. So I concluded in the same way that Srila Prabhupada is also in the heart with the super soul. So, when I read that after the disappearance of the spiritual master, the super soul appears to guide the sincere disciple, and then too in the guise of a Brahman, I don't take it that the guidance and inspiration comes just from the super soul, and that the guidance and inspiration can come, from one's own spiritual master. And it's not just a sentiment. At least I believe it's not just a sentiment. And once I asked the same question to another senior devotee, he replied that the super soul is in the heart of the spiritual master, and therefore, in one sense, receiving guidance from the spiritual master and receiving guidance from the super soul are the same. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. But, my own way of perceiving it is that the inspiration comes from the spiritual master within the heart. And there are many other quotations, evidence from the scriptures that the liberated soul can be in more than one place at the same time. Just like one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, how can the same devotee be in Krishna Leela and at the same time be in Chaitanya Leela? And Srila Prabhupada says that the soul in the liberated condition has inconceivable potencies. So, but I didn't. I got the impression that one doesn't immediately see Krishna in his threefold bending form in Vrindavan when one is in distress after the disappearance of the spiritual master, but that Krishna as Paramatma appears to the sincere disciple to give him guidance.
Taking it like sometimes maybe extraordinary events happen in the devotee's life, maybe at a time. Maybe a few different times in the devotee's life where he feels like, you know, Krishna is really directly guiding events here. Sometimes he may get the feeling like, get the realization. I mean, you know, we're aware all the time that Krishna is, you know, in control of everything, but sometimes maybe we get a feeling or realization like, wow, Krishna's really, you know, directly guiding these, you know, events.
Oh, that's true. That we can perceive. In that sense, we can see Krishna, that he's guiding the events, guiding us and guiding the events. That we can.
Could that mean like when the idea of seeing Krishna at a time of distress, and you were saying it could also be you're connected to your spiritual master in a different way from the physical way at such a time? But could it be like through could your spiritual, like, mirror that Prabhupada sometimes said he felt like that when somebody told him something, it was almost like a spiritual master was speaking to him through this person. Or like, I think the case of, I don't know if it's a spiritual master or Krishna, but like when someone said the big books are better than magazines or lasting longer, the Prabhupada sort of took it that Krishna was signed in this or a spiritual master, I can't remember which one. But like in Dallas, there were some employees from the Philippine Yatra, who had first come to Krishna consciousness of following one spiritual master who was properly situated in Krishna consciousness for some time, and then at some point he left, you know, following, or at some, and then they were actually resisting Goswami Maharaj, who was really coming to be the next, you know, big teacher in that area and so forth. But then at some point, when they actually got to know him, they could sense that he is representing Krishna, or at least a lot of that is experience.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't representing maybe exactly this spiritual master who had previously been there, you know what I mean? In the sense that he was still a different individual. But somehow, I don't know what I'm asking exactly, but Krishna can appear to you at a time of distress when you're missing your spiritual master or you're missing a Vaishnava through another Vaishnava or another person who can act as in the same way.
Yes. Yes. I mean, when I thought deeply about the example of Krishna appearing as the Brahman, I thought that's the way he would appear to us in most cases, in the form of a Vaishnava. And there's one very nice quotation from Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura, where he says that, that one will see his Gurudev, you know, and those that were close to his Gurudev. And, you know, if I don't see my Gurudev in them, then, you know, how will my Gurudev guide me? And then in the same quotation he says, but I will never, ever look on the face of one who blasphemes my Gurudev. So that's, it can be, you know, either from within the heart. I mean, there's no difference because say, you know, Krishna's in your heart. He gives you some instruction. Or Krishna's in my heart and he inspires me to give you the same instruction. But I would say, as I perceive things, or, you know, experience things, it would be more like, you know, Srila Gurudev's in your heart, or Srila Gurudev in my heart might inspire me to say something. But it's still the same person. But again, you know, Krishna was in Srila Gurudev's heart and inspired him, so we're always dealing with, like Prabhupada says in the concluding words, the Lord accompanied by his associates within the heart. Or to separate them. And we don't want to separate them.
Having just gone through this amazing festival this week, many Srila Gurudev's disciples were able to gather together and share their motivations, experiences, his departure, etc. Different devotees approach this dilemma and this tragedy and community. Spiritual challenge in many different ways. Some devotees are absorbing themselves in learning older tapes, some reading certain parts of the Bhagavatam, some just speaking among each other or trying to, you know, sift through it, make some sense out of it. Is there any way that really works better than anything else to this kind of situation? Is it just a matter of surrendering to Krishna, surrendering to the guru within the heart? Or just letting time take its course and gradually you see that per se the world doesn't change so much, but we don't confess to it. And it happened because you said anything under time.
Well, in a general sense, we have to surrender to our spiritual master more. But how we do it may vary from person to person because each one is individual. So, for some it may be surrendering to the holy name more. I just finished the sentence, I don't know what to do otherwise, but for some it may be surrendering to the holy name more, for others it may be surrendering to the scriptures more, for others it may be meditating on Srila Gurudev's direct instructions more, for others it may be taking shelter of the association of like-minded devotees more. Because we're always individual and we have our own individual way. But the ultimate goal is to surrender to the spiritual master more and serve the spiritual master better. And that will bring us close to him, bring him close to us. And, you know, that's the method for sure, to serve the spiritual master without reservation. But again, how to feel more connected to the spiritual master, more clear about how to serve him, and how to actually serve him better, you know, vary from person to person. And I saw with Srila Prabhupada also, you know, some people were more inclined to chanting, some were more inclined to reading, some were more inclined to just rendering service. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged all of them. He didn't encourage the ones that were in the mood of personal service to him more than he encouraged others who were in the mood of of serving him in other ways. And I mean, from my own experience, and again, I'm just one person, other devotees could have other experiences, but from my own experience, the main process is chanting. And the scriptures also tell us that the main process is chanting. So that's like the basis. And then serving devotees. And it's also Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Chant the holy name and serve the devotees. Sort of like somehow or other fix your mind on Krishna. Yena tena prakarena, somehow or other serve Srila Gurudev. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shishirada Nilamadava Ki Jai Chandra Ki Jai Chandra.